I was thinking about Kenny while I put this sermon together. Because Kenny's one of my heroes. He doesn't know that, but he is. Because the heroes in my life are men and women that have given their lives to Jesus. I consider Dave Wilkerson, who's passed, as one of my mentors. I've known him since I was a little boy. If he saw me, he wouldn't know me, but. And Jack Hayford, who's also gone to be with the Lord, and I had the privilege of spending quite a bit of time with him. And they affected my lives, but they affected my lives because they gave their lives to Jesus. And I don't think there's anything in the world that's more important or more rewarding than to give your life to Jesus. And so I've been thinking a lot about this subject that I'm talking about today because of many of you may know this, but I'm an end times fanatic. I've been studying the end times since I was a little boy. And I think I've pretty much got it figured out. And one of the things I've definitely figured out is when it happens, I'm going to go, oh, that's what he meant. But how many of you believe that we're in the end of the end times? I believe that. And if you believe that, then things are wrapping up. Today I titled my message, The Last Day of My Life. And I've been thinking about the last day of my life. I had a birthday this last month. And I'll tell you what, I feel like I'm 35. I look like 129. And when I get out of bed in the morning, I feel like 149. But in my mind, I'm maybe even 29. But I turned 69 this. And I've never bothered with my age. It's never bothered me what my age is, because I've always thought about the fact that life is kind of broken up. If you kind of break it up into decades, every decade is different. And I think about my 20s. I had all the energy in the world. I could run up mountains. I could do anything, and I was dumber than a brick. But I had so much energy, it didn't matter. I just bulldozed through my stupidity. Then in my 30s, which is another decade, I had lots of energy, but I got a little smarter. I started doing things a little bit better, a little bit smarter. Then in my 40s, still energy, but a lot smarter. And then 50s, I start slowing down, but you get some wisdom. And in your 60s, you don't want to do anything. But you're smart enough not to. And now I'm getting ready to hit my 70s. And I'm looking forward to what God has for me. I've been watching Kenny. And if God has for me in my 70s what God has for him, I'm thrilled. But this is the first decade that's coming up that I've actually started to be concerned with. And I don't know why I'm concerned, but it just doesn't seem fair that I just got started and now I feel like I'm getting old. Now they say 70 is the new 50, but you know, if you have 80 years of life, you've got another 10 to go. In fact, I was thinking about it the other day, and if it's a gas tank, I got an eighth of a tank left. I'd like more. But it's really got me thinking about mortality. And when you're young, you don't really think much about mortality, do you? You do a little bit more at this age, right, Kenny? It's kind of forced on you. I don't know. I've had some near-death experiences. I don't know, some of you may have. I was 29 when I was laid on the asphalt with my vehicle rolled over. It just barely missed me. The gas tank poured gas all over me, and I'm laying in the middle of the road. And I just realized, I looked up to Jesus, and I said, "Lord, I'm coming home." And I heard him say, "No. No, you're not." But I really felt at that moment that I was going home. And do you know what I was worried about? Nothing. I was kind of excited to go home. And if you're not excited about what will happen in the next breath if you die, today's a great day to get that figured out, because we have a hope. 2 days before Christmas, 2022, I had a heart attack, laid in the emergency room, and they worked on me and worked on me and worked on me, and this 8,000-pound gorilla had crawled in the room and sat on my chest. And after 45 minutes of them working, and I can hear them talking, saying they can't do anything, they didn't know how to stop it, I remember looking to the Lord again and saying, "Lord Jesus, I'm coming home." And then I said, "But Lord, this is my wife's and my time. I want more time with my wife." And all the pain went away. Everything settled down. And the Lord's given me more time. By the way, it's amazing what a little blood flow will do for you after a quadruple bypass. I have people talk about the fact that it's easy for my wife and I to go through whatever we go through because the Lord's blessed us and we don't have trials and tribulations. And I think about her 9 weeks ago with her 11-hour surgery to have a double mastectomy and get rid of three types of cancer, and going in tomorrow morning for chemo. We live a blessed life because we know who we serve. But it's not that we don't have problems. When you're here on the earth, you got problems. And so simply, I could wrap up my sermon right now, because I simply want to tell you that 5 minutes from now could be the last day of your life. And I don't care how old you are. You could walk outside the building and be hit by a bus. And I think that it's an extremely morbid sermon. It's a morbid thought to be thinking that you could die. But I think it's important for us to recognize the fact. I want to go in the rapture. My wife and I have decided that we don't want to go except together. And the rapture would be the best way to go. How many of you would like that? That's a better way to do things, right? The odds are getting better every day that could happen. But the chances are that won't. But most of us don't wake up every morning thinking that this could be our last day. Isn't that right? And most of us don't because we're too busy with everything else. And I don't believe the Lord wants us to wake up every morning staring our mortality in the face. But I do believe that God wants us to understand that we are mortal creatures and that we have a responsibility before Him. If we're living in the end times, how should we be living? But death may be the end of our life here on earth, but as a Christian, it's not the end. What a promise the Lord has given us. In John 11, Scripture says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. I tell you, we are so focused on our here and now, our flesh, that we forget that this is just the teeny tiniest bit of the start of our eternity. We're living eternity now. But one of the things that's so incredible is that what you do in this tiny little smidge of your life determines what your eternity is going to be like. So how important is it? What we do here right now is very important. We have God's promise that as Christians we're not going to die. When we are born, we start a journey that will continue until the end of our time on the earth. Death just marks that the first part of this journey is now over, and we're going to transition into something different. But I don't know about you, I sometimes try to think about what my end could be. And so today I want to talk about the time between birth and death. And as I talk about our time between birth and death, I want to embarrass Kenny by saying that we need to be thinking about him as our example. He's one of our examples, one of our heroes. And he's our example, and he's a hero because he follows Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we have people in our lives that we can look to and say, hey, because to be honest with you, if he could do it, any of us could. Sorry, Kenny. No. Scripture tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you believe that? Amen. How many of you at times have lost hope and you think you don't have a future? Except that the God created you, he's always had a plan for you. There's always been hope. God's created us with a plan. He has something planned for every person. And he has a unique journey for each one of us. I have this thing that I call the special call. There are people that God has a special call on their lives. Now, I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to say, hey, you've got a special call on your life. One of the things that we kind of mess up sometimes in church is that we'll see somebody that gives their life to the Lord and they get really on fire and they get excited and all of a sudden they start to think, oh, God has something special for me. And then we as a church look at them and go, oh, well, you must have been called to be a pastor. No. All that person's doing is waking up and recognizing that God created them to do something that only they can do. See, only you can do what God called you to do. And so that makes you what? Special. Not a short bus, special, but special. Okay? Every one of us is special because God created us with a purpose. And you may think, well, I've gone so many years and I've just blown it and I've messed it up and I can't be what God called me to be. Guess what? God's an eternal God. He's the creator of the universe. And he can take you exactly where you are at and begin to accomplish what it is he has for you. It's not dependent on what you've done. It's always dependent on him. We need to look at his plan for us. We need to look at our lives in context of what God has for us. When you're young, it's hard to think that we only have a short time. Feels like we'll live forever. Let me tell you, I graduated high school like last month. It goes fast. It goes really fast. I remember my oldest daughter graduating high school. She was at a baccalaureate. And as I sat there, I all of a sudden thought about all those parents that had looked to me and said, hey, enjoy everything now because it's going to be a blink of an eye and they're going to be graduating. And I sat there and realized, wait a minute, it's been a blink of an eye. And she's graduating. She's now approaching 50. She's older than I am. I often say that I was saved and gave my heart to the Lord someplace between the womb and the doctor's hands. Now, that's not true, because salvation is a personal thing that you've got to be able to understand and to make that choice. But it's all I've ever known. All I've ever known is serving God. I wish I could say that all I've ever done is serve God. But I've had my journey. But in context of my life, I have served God for almost all of my life. And I really honestly have tried to put God first in my life. And wanted to please Him. I've spent much time doing the things that please me rather than what pleases God. But I can tell you in this later chapter of my life, I'm making it a purpose to try to serve God more than I serve myself, because it's important. I don't know how many of you have heard the name John Wesley. He was an English cleric, a theologian, an evangelist. He was a leader of a large revival. And one day he was asked what he would do if he knew that the Lord would return at this time tomorrow. And he said, in effect, I would go to bed and go to sleep. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd go on with my work. For I would want him to find me doing what he had appointed. Jonathan Edwards, also a great evangelist, preacher, and philosopher, he said, I resolved to live with all my might while I do live. I resolved never to lose one moment of time and to improve my use of time in the most profitable way I possibly can. I resolved never to do anything I wouldn't do if it were the last hour of my life. And really, that's kind of summed up by another pastor that I read that said they had asked him, you know, what would you do differently if you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow at noon? And his answer was, I wouldn't do anything differently. I try to do what God's called me to do every minute. I wish I could say the same thing. But it's what I want. And it's what we need. Scripture says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And again he said, I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. And then this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And he says, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And this morning, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about waking up in the morning and saying, I'm only going to do those things that please the Father today. That's it. I'm just going to please the Father. It used to be the first thing on my mind when I woke up in the morning is, I'm going to get something to eat. As you get older, that changes to, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And then I'm going to get something to eat. Jesus understood that his life was to do the will of the Father. Should it be different for us? God knows we need to rest. Did you know that God even knows that we need entertainment? So can we do things that are pleasant, play a game, do whatever, and it still be in the will of the Father? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to work. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was God, some of you are new, but your response is supposed to be, we're glad you're not. But if I was God and somebody got saved, you know what I would do? I'd fill up their bank account. I'd make their clothes never wear out, give them a nice place to live, and set them out about doing my business. Right? But I'm not God. And you see, God knows that we're on a journey, and that in this journey of life, that it's the things of life that will begin to form us into the image of Christ. It's these things that we go through that we don't like to go through that are necessary for our lives. I go to the gym 3 days a week. I have a trainer, and I'm trying to build muscle. And one of the things I'd like to do when I'm, let's say, doing squats, and my trainer has me doing like 100 squats, and after about 10 of them, I think, well, that was enough. It's starting to hurt. I don't need to do any more. I need to quit, but he won't let me. If I quit every time that it got tiring, how much muscle would I build? Wouldn't build too much, would it? But if I continue to persevere and I continue to work and it hurts and I'm going and I'm going and I'm going, all of a sudden I start building muscle. And so our trials and tribulations, we need to kind of think of them as building muscle. Yeah. We're going through things because we're building muscle. Now, when my wife got cancer, I told the Lord, we don't need this. We got everything figured out. We don't need to grow in anything. So let's just take this away. But I'm not God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, thank you. And I'm growing through it. I'm learning some things. Getting closer to the Lord. Our daily lives are to be about his business, and his business is also about the things we need to do in order to keep on living. If any of you are taking breaths this morning, which I assume most of you are, then you know that we just went through an election. And our country is so polarized that people are talking about not being with family during the holidays because their family voted the wrong way. Yeah, really. Well, I believe that God would have us to actively be a part of what's happening in our world. It's important to know that he is what's important in our world. And that no matter who gets in, who doesn't get in, I mean, we all have our preferences, but is God still God? Amen. No matter who the president is? Is it possible that God can be in control if your candidate didn't win?
Yes.
Go Trump.
And my response is, go Jesus. Some of these things seem so important and critical, and they do make a difference. But we can't forget. Scripture says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. The overriding, overwhelming, most important thing is that my citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. No matter what happens out there. Now, I'm always going to vote. I'm always going to do what I can to make sure that we're doing things that are moral, godly, that our economy would be good so that those that have very little will have more, be able to live, do good. All those things are important. But I never can forget the fact that He is my King. And His kingdom is where my heart belongs. You know, life can be hard, and being a Christian does not exempt us from the problems that happen. John says, in the world you will have tribulation. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Has any of you been exempted from tribulation and problems? How many of you have lived this life that everything's gone right? Come on, one person. I didn't think so. You know, the word doesn't say that we could have tribulation, but it says you will have. Many Christians experience problems in their lives that they never see coming. They're walking along, everything's going great, everything's wonderful. I've had times like that. It's never going to end. It's all good. Bam! Where'd that come from? Their lives were seemingly going great when all of a sudden, wham, life hits you in the face. Suddenly life takes a bad turn. You may say, God would never bring a big problem into the life of His children. Now, I don't really care if you think that God does these things, or He allows these things, or it's just always Satan. It doesn't matter, because tribulation will be in your life. And I happen to believe that God loves me so much that sometimes He disciplines me. And I appreciate that because I grow and I learn. But no matter what the cause, no matter what happens, I need to know who my Savior is. And I need to be able to trust Him and believe in Him. No, Jesus says that such problems are part of life. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Scripture makes clear that most important matter in our lives is not the tribulation. The greatest thing we'll ever have is an intimate, personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the solution. The question for each of us, including all who have experienced tribulation, is how does this affect my relationship with Jesus? Is it going to draw me closer, or is it I'm going to allow it to pull me away? Because sometimes the tribulation is an excuse for us to then turn and do what we want instead of what He wants. The question is, do I desire Christ and serving Him, even if it's hard and painful? If we have tribulation, Jesus asks us to exchange it for Him. The whole scripture around that tribulation is this. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, he's already done it. We just got to go through it. Our tribulation may affect every aspect of our lives, every hour of our days, but it doesn't affect our eternity. Our beginning and our end are in him. Have you been listening to Satan's lies about your walk with Jesus? Because he does lie to us all the time. Have you thought you are unworthy and cannot worship God until you make everything perfect? That's a great trap. Well, I know I got to get right with Jesus, but I'll wait until I fix this thing in my life. Yeah, good luck. Because we'll never make ourselves good enough. We'll never fix what we made wrong. We'll never make up for how we grieved him. And it's only because he decided to die on the cross for us. He decided to take away our sins. He decided that he would pay the price that we can live with him. The good news is that you already know Satan is a liar. But I can prove to you that Jesus has made you clean and worthy to stand before him and serve him in faithfulness. How are we made worthy? By Christ's sacrifice on the cross. You're given every right to worship him. Colossians says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Greek rendering of this passage is, the Father has made us fit, worthy, qualified in character, and good enough to be partakers in the inheritance of light. He's made us worthy to be his children. He's made us worthy to be citizens. And again, what can you do to make yourself worthy? Nothing. Have you tried? I have. I've listened to the lie before that said, well, I'm going to quit doing this or doing that, and as soon as I get that under control, I'm going to go back to Jesus. Yeah, didn't work out so well. Even if you were able to win victories over every wrong thing you have ever done and every wrong thought you have ever had, you still would not be qualified. It is impossible. Why? Because God will not accept any righteousness except that of his own Son, Jesus Christ. The only way to attain righteousness is by believing and trusting in God for it. And it all happens by faith in what Christ Jesus has done. So, the last day of my life, I don't know when it's going to be. It's getting closer. Kenny, I hope you outlive me by a minute. Some of you are young. And you got your whole lives ahead of you, you hope. But do you get up in the morning and say, I only want to do those things that please the Father? Because that really should be our prayer, shouldn't it? Do you know what our pastor did? Michael called a prayer meeting for tonight, a Sunday night. And he's expecting us to come and pray. How many of you just get excited and just can't wait to go to a prayer meeting? I only want to do those things that please the Father. I can tell you what will please the Father today for me to go pray. No matter how hard it is. You see, the things of life that sometimes seem the most difficult are the things that will make us the most happy. Because when you please the Father, what else is there? Do you stand with me? So one of our questions this morning is if you knew that you only had 5 minutes to go, what would you do different? Would you tell somebody in your life that you love them? They should already know. Would you tell your neighbor about Jesus? Should already be doing that. See, God is the one that directs your paths. In God, there's no shoulda, woulda, couldas. It's, I'm doing your will, Father. And I don't have to scramble to get some things done so that I can be worthy for you. It's just, let's live every minute for Christ.